Kaja with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN. Tom Skilling joins us after the top of the hour.
He'll have a lot to talk about.
Did you see that there's a hurricane heading toward the volcano?
No, I did not.
Yes.
That is freaky.
There's a hurricane heading toward the volcano in Hawaii, and the question is what happens when a volcano and a hurricane meet?
It doesn't sound like the results are very... Why, I would just say you should not go to Hawaii anytime soon, Ro. You're already sort of panicking about it.
Oh, no. I want to go. Oh, I will be there over the holidays because it's a tradition now.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the kind of place, though, that if you're going to be in a natural disaster, that's where you want to be because it's pretty.
Molten lava.
Yeah.
From afar.
Yes. From afar. And if there's, you know, if there's trouble, if you're going to go, you might as well go in paradise. That's the way I look at it.
Well, Tom Skilling did that. He took the tour of
He went to the volcano.
The volcano. Yeah.
Yeah,
he told us about that.
Highly recommend you know how to swim, though.
Well.
If you're going over there.
That'd be a plus.
Yeah. We'll explain it later. Don't worry about it. All right, right now, Gary McCarthy is joining us on the Super Celebrity Hotline. All right, I got it. There's a question everybody wants to know the answer to. That let's just start with this, and then we'll get on to the really important, serious stuff. Is that you had Rudy Giuliani, who sent out a series of tweets about you, misspelled your name. Then your press people sent out a press release saying that you're still a Democrat That's not like an accepted endorsement, but you misspelled Giuliani's name after he misspelled yours. Intentional or not intentional?
That's called quid pro quo.
Okay.
All right. That's
all right.
I'm going to
go with intentional there. And that is, everybody gets 10 points for that right there.
Just to be serious for a second, you know, what I've been telling people is I can't control who compliments me. I had no idea that was coming. And Rudy and I have a relationship that goes back more than 20 years. I almost got him killed on 9/11 because I set up the command post that we all got trapped in. And, you know, I don't abandon my friends because of their politics. And he and I have a long relationship that I don't feel like I need to apologize for. You know, at the end of the day, I learned a lot from him. I don't agree with everything he does or says. I certainly don't agree with everything that this president does or says. But at the end of the day, that's what democracy is all about. So that's where I am.
And you push back by saying you're a proud Democrat and you're not of the same mindset of the president and Giuliani. I know that.
No, absolutely not. I mean, the things that are going on, I think, are despicable in this country right now. And it's unfortunate, but this is where we are. We're in a tough place.
Well, mm-hmm. You know, there was one point when... Donald Trump was a proud Democrat, too. Didn't stick with him, I suppose. All right. Let's talk about what happened over the weekend, because this is what everybody in the nation now, when we're not talking about stuff going on in Washington, the networks are looking at Chicago. There's close to 80 people shot, 12 people fatally. And, you know, we talk about the murder numbers, and the murder numbers are down, but also medical advancements are up, right? You still have 80 people shot.
But you know what, Ro? The murder numbers are not down, and this is something that we have to clarify. You know, the murder numbers are down because they went up so much in this administration. This administration wants to make believe that 2016 did not occur when there was an 80% increase in the murder rate. If you compare 2013, 14, and 15, my last 3 years as superintendent, to the last 3 years in this city, there's almost 400 more murders over the last 3 years. So let's stop the lying. Let's accept the facts. Let's look at the truth, and let's start moving forward and addressing it, which we're not doing.
Okay.
And it's despicable to me that we keep having this conversation. Oh, murders are down. No, they're not. 400 more people murdered is mass murder.
Well, they're certainly not at an acceptable level. Nobody would say that. Today, the mayor said he blames violence on too many guns and the illegal flow. We just saw stories about how a major percentage of them are coming over from Indiana. He also said shortage of values in the communities where these are happening. Do you disagree with the mayor that those are central issues here?
The central issue is the political landscape that he's created in the city of Chicago, where we've emboldened criminals and we've hamstrung the police. That's all on him. And it's typical of him to point the finger somewhere else. Look at the squirrel. Look at the shiny object. Let's talk about values. What's your crime strategy? Because we have a crime strategy that's absolutely positively working in every city across the country that's using it. As a matter of fact, I point to Wilmington, Delaware, where Bob Tracy, who you guys know, came with me to Chicago as the chief of crime control strategies. In 2 short years, he's got a 50% reduction as the chief of Wilmington, Delaware, 50% reduction in the shooting rate in Wilmington, Delaware. By the way, when Bob Tracy quit after I was terminated, nobody was appointed in his position. There's nobody in charge of crime strategy in the Chicago Police Department.
Well, let's talk about strategy.
You want to try and figure out what's going on?
Well, let's talk about strategy. What would you employ? What, I mean, there's just some, I know this is a complicated, multifaceted problem. We all agree on that. Yeah. But are there things, you say that the police have been hamstrung. How would you uncuff them, unhamstring them?
Well, everybody knows that nobody has their back. Every police officer in Chicago that I run into says the same thing. They say, oh, my God, do we miss you? And second of all, if that's what they did to you, what would they do to me? And the situation that I ran into with Laquan McDonald was that I didn't have authority, but I had accountability. I wasn't in charge of the discipline system. I could only make a recommendation to the police board for suspensions of 30 days or more, and they disagreed with me 75% of the time. I wasn't in charge of the investigation, yet I was held accountable for it. Those are business management practices that are failures, and we've got to stop doing that. We've got to make sure that people know that we support our police, and if they violate the law, they need to be prosecuted. No two ways about it. And if they violate policy, they need to be disciplined. But that doesn't mean that you do a witch hunt against the police, which is what has been happening here for the last couple of years. So the first thing we have to do is stop the political manipulation of the police and make sure that they have our support.
Okay, so but
beyond
how does that affect the streets?
You know that it was complicated, but in 2013 and 14, we had the lowest murder rates in the city in 50 years.
Okay, yes, you're totally right. But what is the question? The question is, what would you do on the streets now? If I get it, just ask you to turn away from the wind here, because we're getting a lot of interference on the phone.
I got it now.
If there is a strategy, just, you know, can you give us just some sort of thing that we are, that we're obviously missing here that we should be doing, that is a strategy or a tactic on the street to keep these numbers down?
Beat integrity. The same two cops and the same beat every single day. Start there. I mean, look, what we did when we got here was we did data-driven policing. We put the cops where, when, and looking for who was committing crimes. And we did it through beat integrity. We broke up those big task forces, which, by the way, are now back. And those are the places, those are the units that use the quote-unquote heavy-handed tactics that always gets policing in trouble. So start with beat integrity. Start with the meritocracy rather than a political organization. An organization that's based upon how hard you work and how talented you are, and that's how you advance. That's simply not happening here. There's political promotions. Everything about the Chicago Police Department is now political, and that equals failure. If anybody ran a business the way that we run city government these days, you'd be out of business in a heartbeat.
Gary, I want to ask you about the consent decree that community activists have been calling for it, people calling for reform of the police department. When it, you know, this is something that some are saying is a big part of the solution, a federally enforced consent decree with federal judge oversight governing the patterns, practices, policies of the Chicago Police Department for years to come. But what I hear from police officers is that they don't like this. Is that well justified, or do you think there should be a consent decree that oversees this police department as part of a meaningful piece of reform?
You cannot legislate good policing. You just can't do it. And that's what we keep trying to do here in Illinois. As a matter of fact, I could point to the investigative stop report, the ISR, which was legislated in Springfield. And it says that we need to record all of this data on the ISR. And then people are complaining, well, it takes 45 minutes to do this, and it's more akin to doing a robbery investigation than just a stop. You cannot legislate good policing. I do have questions about the consent decree. I haven't read it in depth. I've only skimmed it. But it looks like an administrative exercise. It also looks like they're recommending policies that are already in place. And the one that I could give you right off the top is that I implemented a policy in 2015 that you cannot shoot at a moving vehicle unless deadly physical force other than the vehicle is being used against you. Well, that's a recommendation in the consent decree. It's brilliant. It's already in place. So supervisors are going to be doing a lot more time documenting than supervising, which is a big problem. And my bigger question is, who was the police policy expert who participated in the production of this document? Of course, they talk about groups of people who are involved, but they don't say who the people are. And I don't see a police policy expert who would sign on to all of these things that are here.
Is there, do you think, a lot? Just one last thing here quickly about strategy. Obviously, we had a gigantic police presence downtown over the weekend because of Lollapalooza. We had, on Thursday, you had Lollapalooza, plus you also had the guy shutting down Lakeshore Drive. Mm-hmm. So you had that, and, you know, which was a planned event, so there had to be police there. Do you think that bad guys were taking advantage of the lack of police coverage in their neighborhoods?
No, I think, and I said this the whole time that I was superintendent, it's less important how many cops you have, and more important, what they're doing. And the officers today are not doing what they were doing when I was superintendent. And at the end of the day, that causes mayhem. There are more police officers in the headcount of the Chicago PD now than when I was superintendent, yet there's less officers on the street. So you tell me, is that good management or is that bad management?
Why is that?
You better ask somebody else.
Does it have to do? But well, the question is, I mean, do you have an idea of why that is?
Yeah, because more people are working desk jobs. They came up with more jobs for people to do rather than everybody being a rifleman, which was the saying that I use. You know, in the Marine Corps, cooks, clerks, and truck drivers are riflemen first. And that's what we were trying to imbue into the Chicago Police Department, which is now gone. People are on desk duty instead of out doing police work.
All right. So more to come. Gary McCarthy, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Always a pleasure, guys.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.
All right, there he goes. Let's check with Judy. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
One of the people who wants to be mayor says he can't control who compliments him. You just heard him.
That's a word. Let me just tell you something. You're great at teases, but that was the worst one ever. Because, I mean, he just literally just said that. And you're like trying to act. I'm hanging up on the guy that you're acting like, oh, I wonder who that could possibly be.
Who knew you'd come to me right after you hung up on him? I did the best I could.
All right. Violetta?